What do we mean when we speak of being tempted? Sometimes we are tempted to small things, petty things. An extra slice of cake, an extra half an hour sleep in the morning. But there are also big temptations. Selfish temptations, but also temptations for justice. Suppose there was some huge good that you seek to accomplish with your life. Some great work that would make the world better for so many other people. What would you do? What sort of deal would you make to accomplish that good? Might you be tempted to that as well? We can be tempted for many reasons. Power, glory, just simple indolence sometimes. But also for altruistic reasons. We can be tempted out of our better natures. When you look at the gospel reading we just heard, you should think about the three specific temptations that Jesus faced. Because they are not arbitrary or random. They are chosen for a reason and put in an order for a reason. First of all, he is hungry after 40 days of fasting, so he is offered food. This is a very easy to understand, very elemental temptation. Probably the first temptation any of us ever felt when we were babies. It's not common practice to fast in churches anymore, but there are some traditions that still regularly fast, or even some of us might have done it occasionally, or for purely secular reasons had to go hungry for an extended period. If that's happened to you, know that after a while your body starts to demand food. You feel it in your bones. Sometimes temptation is this almost physical thing. The second temptation that Jesus faces is that of glory and authority, that of power, all the kingdoms of the world. But this temptation could have several different aspects. Is this just a selfish temptation for respect, wealth, adulation? But as I just alluded to, it could also be a sense of positive possibility. What you could do with that power. You could feed the hungry, you could heal the sick, you could go to Canberra and make the politicians act sensibly for once. It's not a temptation to dismiss easily. But the third temptation that Jesus faces seems to be that of almost respect or status. The devil challenges him to prove who he is, prove that he is the Son of God. That would certainly gratify his own ego, to show the devil once and for all. I don't know about you, but I've occasionally had this temptation while I'm in an argument with someone. If I could get God to come down out of the heavens and declare me correct, that would certainly shut them up. But Jesus refuses that temptation. He has nothing to prove to the devil. Even so, there's a question that I would ask coming out of this reading that I think sometimes we don't ask out of well-meaning piety. Why does Jesus refuse these temptations? Seriously, why? I mean, yes, the devil has all of this power that he's offering, but all of the miracles Jesus is tempted to have some precedent elsewhere in the Bible. Jesus is hungry in the desert. Well, Moses and the Israelites, while wandering in the desert, received manna from heaven. All the kingdoms of the earth? Well, if you read your Hebrew scriptures, there are often prophecies of all the nations of the earth streaming to Zion, to the Lord's temple. And even afterwards, Paul the Apostle will write that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And finally, proving that Jesus is the Son of God, well, we can think of the Transfiguration, the Ascension, the Second Coming, everything we associate with Revelation. All these things Jesus is tempted to are elsewhere in the Bible. They don't seem inherently evil. Indeed, often we think that Jesus will obtain all of those things in time. Even in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus will pray for our daily bread. Why not pray for it here in the desert? But the how and the why matter. More than that, the when matters. Perhaps there will be a time for Jesus to obtain these things, but not through earthly power, not through making the compromises that the devil would require him to make. the wandering in the wilderness is the first stage of Jesus' journey, a long journey that leads through Galilee, Capernaum, Syria, Jerusalem, and eventually to a cross. And that path matters. If Jesus had just come to be a perfect king from day one, he would not truly be one of us. He would not be fully human, tested as we have been tested, as the author of the Epistle to the Hebrews would state. So one of the things that comes through from this story for me is the humanness of Jesus, that he has to go through this process of trial and doubt and suffering and genuine temptation, just as we do. If we think of Jesus as human like us facing this difficulty, we might wonder, well, what tools does Jesus use to try to resist this temptation? Because they're pretty powerful temptations. Well, what we just heard was prayer, scripture. The very first verse said that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And what stands out about these tools is that they are human tools. None of them are inaccessible to us. Even the Holy Spirit would later be sent to each and every one of us. So there is an incarnational element to the story as well. Because Jesus was fully human, he had to face temptation in a fully human way. He does not resist just by virtue of being God or something. He resists by praying, by reading scripture, by going through the difficulties that all of us face throughout our lives. To use a more theological term, here we see the Logos, the living word of God, dependent on the written word, just as we are. Now, before I go on, I have a handful of further notes on gospel reading that I'd just like to quickly run through, I suppose. I'd like to come back to the first verse and speak to Jesus filled with the Holy Spirit and accompanied with the Spirit on this journey. So in this passage, we have all three persons of the Trinity, the Son relying on the Father while accompanied and filled with the Spirit. It almost reads to me like a foreshadowing of the crucifixion. The Son is tested but empties himself in obedience to the Father through the indwelling of the Spirit. So we see the mirroring of the beginning and the end of Jesus' ministry through this act of suffering and temptation. Midway through the passage, Satan boasted that all power and authority was given over to him. And that might seem a bit odd. Why would God do this? But I don't think that's the right question. I think the right question is, what does it look like when we think of the kingdoms of the world, all their power, all that authority having been given over to the devil? Now, I don't want to get into a long discussion about whether we think Satan is, for lack of a better term, real. Because in this text, he is not just an external force coming in and dominating Jesus. He is an exploration of those temptations, those desires that come upon us at any time. So when I think of all the kingdoms and powers of the world given over to Satan, I think, what would that look like? In fact, what does that look like if it might be the case today? Do the politics of power often seem satanic? If so, does that mean we are often tested in that same way? Do this thing for food, do this thing for power, do this thing for respect. And I suspect I often give in to that. But fortunately, we can always go back and reevaluate the powers and the authorities we interact with, test the bargains that we shouldn't have made. And the final observation that I want to make on the gospel is in that final verse. The devil retreats to wait for an opportune time. We read this passage at the beginning of Lent, recognising the beginning of a journey through Jesus' ministry that, as I said, will lead towards Jerusalem and the cross. So the devil will get his opportunity. Opportune times will come. There will be more temptations. There will be more sufferings. Jesus has not banished the devil forever. And if we think about temptation in our own lives, I actually find that a quite comforting thing to remember. Because whenever I face a temptation, it's never just that one time. I never resist a temptation, and that's it. It's gone forever. It'd be wonderful if it was like that, but Unfortunately, it isn't. So difficulties will come back and will recur. And finally, I would like to briefly comment on the Romans reading as well from Paul the Apostle. The words we just heard from Paul talk about the word being near us, on our lips and in our hearts, and that the word has the power to save us. He admonishes us to call upon the name of the Lord and so be saved. And nowhere is that truer than in moments of weakness or temptation. Piety is not for the confident and the strong, but for the weak and the doubting. You can see how this parallels Jesus' temptation in the Gospel. He cites the written word of God and calls upon the name of his Father. So too can we cite the written word of God and call upon the name of Jesus. There's a medieval saying that I quite like, as above, so below. And what this originally meant was that the way things are on earth is mirrored in the spiritual world in heaven. And while there are better or worse ways to explore that, I find it a useful, even wise saying. Because when I think about the gospel, theology, scripture, you find these patterns constantly recurring and everything is tied together. What Jesus did in the desert, we do also, here and throughout our lives. Worship, multi-layered across time, a million prayers, 1,000 acts of devotion, all tied together in this common language, these common experiences. What happened in the gospel happens again and again. So every time you face a temptation, remember the story of Jesus' temptation. Again, to use a slightly heavier theological term, it is sacramental, not in the formal Eucharistic sense, but in the sense of being an intrusion of the sacred into daily life. I think this is actually one of the great talents of Paul. Paul is not much of a storyteller, not like the Gospel writers, but he weaves the life of Jesus and the following of Jesus' example into every part of life. So that would be the challenge, I suppose, that I find in this text and that I would offer to all of you as well as we walk into this Lenten journey towards Easter.